Blog Talk Radio.
Absolutely an emergency here on Solar Records Radio. What's happening, everybody? Woo! I'm so excited to be here. And I hearing this song, Emergency, has really taken me there. And I am so blessed because of that time back in the 80s when we were having so much fun in the studio recording and putting this music together for the Whisperers. This particular song, or let's just say for Solar, for Dick Griffey, for being, in the room with all the guys and stuff and just having so much fun. That's what I'm going to talk to you about today, how much fun it was working with these guys and how much we learned from each other, what a blessing it was to have the opportunity to be in the room on Ground Zero with the Solar crew just launching Solar Records. And so it was an emergency to make sure that we came up with the grooves that Dick Griffey needed to promote and to launch his record company and make things happen. So, man, oh, man, what a great day it was, a great time it was, and a great day it is to talk about this stuff with you guys. I'm going to turn this down just a little bit in the background. But I just want you guys to know that we are really blessed and so glad to be here and hoping you guys are good and everything. Got the silvers coming up. And I just want to say thank you so much for hanging out with us. Hope you guys are good. The weather over here is basically bipolar. One minute is hot, next minute is cold, then it's hot and it's cold. You just don't know how to dress or how to, you know, it's just, I mean, you really got to pay attention to the weather, man. And they don't always know either. It's crazy. But anyway, guys, let's get going here. We're going to celebrate. Like my girl Linda said, it's time to get moving. Let's do this thing here on Solar Records Radio today. We celebrate every Friday on Solar Records Radio the sound of Los Angeles Records.
Find me where the sea Excuse me, madam, you're standing still in a no parking zone. If you don't get a move on that body, I'll be forced to give you a ticket. So
my Lakeside, you know, one of my favorite groups that I really love so much and enjoy just growing up around them, maturing as a young musician. I was only, I believe, the age of, let me turn my mic up here, sorry. I was only at the a very young musician, I think I was 21, and to be around those guys, they were like my big brothers, and they were really a blessing to me, kind of guiding us, and guiding me for sure, and plus they were from the East Coast, so I was more, I would listen to them a little bit more than I would listen to anyone else, so what a blessing. But listen, guys, as you can hear my friend clearing his voice in the background, this is my really good friend for a long, long time. I only call him T, but his name is Terrence Rucker. And Terrence Rucker has been around for a long time and working with the Stylistics. And he's also a bass player. And he is a very good and close friend to all of us at Solar. So what's going on, T? How you doing, my brother?
Hey, Pop. How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. Huh?
Glad to be on, man. Glad
to be here. Hey, so speaking of being here, are you going to Europe?
We just came back from Europe.
Oh, and, okay. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we tour Europe from October to December.
Oh, okay. How was that?
Europe is Europe.
Yeah.
It's vast, you know, all the places you go, you know.
Oh man,
Travel by bus.
Yes, I love that. I'm jealous. I'm so jealous. I want to go to Europe because they really support our music so much over there. And you know, and did you go to Italy, by the way?
No.
Okay.
We was only in like Scotland, Wales, you know, most of Ireland, you know. And, of course, you know, the other places in England, like London and all that, so.
Okay. And where was your biggest crowd? By the way, the group that he's talking about is the Stylistics. Where was your biggest crowd?
Wow. Besides London and those places of that, Dublin, Ireland. Cork, Ireland.
Okay.
Well, it's hard to say because most of the shows, if not all the shows, were, you know, standing room only, sold out. So.
Okay. Yeah. And so you guys do this every year, right? Around the holidays.
Right.
Okay.
From October to November, we tour England from October to December.
Okay.
So October, November, December, and come back. Like the first week in December, and then go to Japan.
Right. So, are you guys in Japan for New Year's?
Sometime this year, we was not. We were only there for Christmas, up until Christmas.
Okay. All right. And how is it doing Christmas in Japan?
You know, the shows we do in the states are different than what we do in places like Japan and England. Of course, they love our music, but Japan, they love R&B and soul music there, and Stylistics is no less of that. So they're always sold. I mean, they're always sold out. You know, they pack a big house in Japan.
Okay. In the UK, do you guys change your show? Like, there's different music?
It's different songs that we don't do in the States.
Mm.
Most of the songs we do in the States are more more recognized. But in England, they have songs that we do in England that we don't do in the United States.
Okay.
Only because they're so real big in England. And also, there are songs that were released in England, but they're never released in the United States. And we have done, you know, a couple of those songs in the States just to get people's reactions. And people say, yes, that would have been a hit if it had been released in the United States.
Okay. All right. Well, I know I've had a couple songs myself that were released in the UK that wasn't released here in the United States. And so very interesting. And I played on quite a few that were released over there but they weren't released here. But listen, as today we are celebrating the sound of Los Angeles Records, you and Solar, how did that come together for you? What do you think about Solar?
I love Solar. I love the groups, the personnel. One of the first groups I met was from Solar was Lakeside, and I met Lakeside before they even signed with Solar. I met them in Phoenix, Arizona, at a club called JK Lounge. And I think that was the first time they come west. And they was the biggest thing that was happening. There was not a signed artist. I mean, they were just so awesome, so professional. I mean, they were, you know, I still remember a lot of their shows, you know, and they were bound to get signed to be stars.
Mm-hmm.
But over the years from that, coming to California, and, you know, picking up relationship in California with my good friend Marvin Craig and Norman Beavers. And, yeah. And so when they did get signed and I was able to come down to Solar Studio with Marvin, you know, and hang out a little bit, you know.
Did you come to Studio Masters?
Where was Solar at the time? Remember,
yeah.
But I remember coming up to the studio up there.
Okay.
And they were recording.
Do you remember if it was on Beverly Boulevard? Do you remember that?
Let's see. Was it on Beverly?
Okay. Don't worry about it. So what were they? What they were recording? I could tell you.
I think they were working on the song Bullseye.
Yeah, they were. We were over. At Studio Masters. Yeah, right off of Switzer and Beverly Boulevard, right over there where the Beverly Center is now. We were down the street from that. But anyway, so I mean, you know, so you got to hang out with these guys from the very beginning. You watched them and I met you as well, but I don't remember when we met. And what did you do?
I do.
I'm sorry? Oh, you do remember?
I remember when we met. Yes.
Uh-oh.
I do.
Uh-oh. You're laughing. What the heck happened?
Man, that was back in, I think it was like 78, 79, actually.
What? That's when I first got there.
We were both students at LA City College.
Oh, see you guys!
Yes,
I went to college. I went to college. I went to college.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
I went to college.
We probably had you and I both.
Now,
had
Grant can be nice to me. What's that?
You and I had probably the toughest business law teacher. We had
Chang. You were in my business law class?
Yes.
Oh my God, that class drove me crazy at first.
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
But you know what? It sure helped me, you know, to this present day, you know, with business and everything.
In my business law class. I finally talked to somebody that was in my classroom.
Yes,
whoa.
I was there, but then I changed from Dr. Chang to Dr. Rutherford's business class, you know. But
yes.
I was there. Yep, yep. And that's how we became good friends and stuff, you know. I knew your whole history. I remember you driving the Jeep with a fur coat on and stuff, you know. Sorry.
Oh, my God. You are funny. Man, you know, it was a real strange time for me. You know, when you... Before I go to that other place with you, man, I could go, oh, my God, we have so much history together. I didn't even know.
Yes, we do.
I didn't remember. Okay, so listen.
Yeah.
That class, and guys, listen, you know, this is, you know, part of trying to become a professional musician. I was going to school because I needed to make sure that I was able to do what I needed to do in the studio. I needed to be able to read. I needed to understand, you know, terminology and stuff, and not feel like I was less than and wasn't smart enough to be where I was, you know, recording all these records. So I put myself in school. And it was, you know, I always was in school in Philadelphia. And then when I went to Norfolk State in Norfolk, Virginia, and then I left there and went to California to audition, and then I was not in school anymore. I was just recording, and then it was just like, I need to do something else. I need to go back to school, and so I went back to L.A., Los Angeles City College, and that's where T was, but we were in the same class. So listen, that class, that law class, so we took a law because I needed to be able to understand what contracts was about. And I'm telling you guys,
right,
if you're going to get in the music business, you need to take business law so you can understand,
right,
you know, what you're doing, just in case you can't afford an attorney. But you need to be able to afford it, because you can't afford not to have an attorney in the business. It's dangerous. And there are a lot of people out there that are trying to take whatever they can take. And they only can take it from you if you give it to them. So
that's
a lot of times, a lot of people don't know the business. And so they will give stuff away that they have no idea what they're giving away. And when they realize later what they've given away, they're heartbroken. And they want to be mad at the people that took it away from them. But you really can't be mad. You could be disappointed, but you can't be mad, or you shouldn't be mad at them. You should be more, you know, frustrated with yourself, because you signed the paper to say you can have this, and you got to take responsibility for that,
right?
You know, and it's really sad. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, the first rule in business is you don't get what you deserve, you only get what you negotiate.
There you go, right there. Oh man, man, oh man. I
do it. What else? Wardell, did you put me on hold? You know.
Okay, so strange. I don't know what just happened, but we shut down. T,
wow.
Are you there still?
Yeah,
that
I'm
was
here.
Weird. That was weird,
yeah,
because there's the power didn't go out. Everything is fine. I have no idea what just happened. But anyway, it may have been the station's, the mother station that shut down for a second, just kicked us all out. But anyway, I am so sorry to all the listeners and stuff. I'm getting text messages from you guys. Hey, sorry. We are trying to figure this thing out. But in the meantime, we are back and talking with my buddy Terrence Rucker. And so we were just going over talking
college.
About, I was just asking you, do you remember when we were in class and in class, I was having such a hard time in the beginning because I didn't understand the terminology. Did you?
Wow. When he started talking about torts and the other things of that nature, contracts and stuff, man, I was like, it was like trying to catch on with math. It was, you know, I was trying to figure out where he was going because, like I said, it was new terminology, you know, dealing
right.
with the law.
Right. So what we did was, because we were going through all the stuff. See, let me explain this to you. And this is, I know I'm kind of getting off of it a little bit, so just bear with me a little bit. But listen, this is a part of trying to get yourself ready to be in the industry. You know,
right.
And so you, even though we had already started participating wherever we were, we needed to make sure that we could sustain the run. So that we could,
right.
40 years later, we could be on Solar Records Radio talking about what we did. You know, and so, because if we didn't do what we did, we may not be where we are. You know, and so it takes a sacrifice, and you got to work hard. And it's not just a gift. It's not just a gift. It's an opportunity, but you have to be able to capitalize on the opportunity. And so for me, I was very concerned and paranoid, had no idea. And all I knew, I just did not want to fail. I didn't want to be a failure because now I've left the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, which, by the way, there was no brotherly love. And I left because if I would have came back, they would have been laughing. So I was like not going back as a failure. And so I was doing everything I could. See, that's what happens when you become successful in anything. Once you get to the top, the only place to go is down. So you got to do everything you can to make sure you can stay there. And so it's like, but see, this is also the other thing that's really important, that you, as you are on your way up, you need to be respectful, gentle, kind, courteous, loving,
absolutely.
Peaceful.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you need to pay attention.
Absolutely.
You need to pay attention because you never know. Those same people that you are, you know, next to trying to climb up the ladder, you may need them later as things are not going so well. So if you're not being kind and respectful to them, why would you expect for them to return the favor? So it's so important. But anyway, here we are right now. You know, 40-something years later, talking about what we did to get to where we are. And I just want to say I remember in that class when I was so frustrated, I was like, I'm going to do a withdrawal. I'm just going to withdraw so it doesn't affect, you know, my credits. I'm just going to withdraw and because I can't figure out what the heck. Am I that stupid? And I knew that I was dyslexic, but I was like, I should be able to learn this stuff, and I can't. And I didn't realize why I couldn't understand it. So then I heard that some of the people were doing like a study class, like we were going to have a study class to ask me if I wanted to be a part of it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'd do that. And so we went, and we had this little private study class, and it wasn't that far from my house. which made it convenient because I only was on a 10 speed. I didn't even have a car yet. And so it was like, I was so excited. I said, yes. And so I ended up getting, going to these classes. And I promise you, once they start breaking down the terminology, I start understanding what those big giant words meant. Then I was able to apply it to the cases that we had to read and learn about, and then get up in the middle of the class. Remember the teacher said, "Who wants to be the prosecutor or who wants to be the defendant attorney?" And we had to pick. So, but the only way that you could be a defendant attorney or a prosecuting attorney is that you had to know the case. And the only way you can know the case is that you have to read it. And the only way you can read it is knowing what the words meant. We had to go through all that, and we did. I learned it. And, man, oh, man, all of a sudden I could see the wheels turning, T.
Right.
And I started getting better. And I went from failing that class to getting a B, a low B, but nevertheless, it was a B by the end of the term. So hallelujah, salvation and glory. And how did you do?
Oh, I did great. I transferred to Dr. Rutherford's class. She was the I just switched to her class, and I added a criminal justice class in its place. But I took her class because she was teaching business law. And she was a very thorough teacher, very thorough. And I did very well in her class. Dr. Chang was a little harsh, very harsh because of the culture he came from. But he was very harsh, and we were not getting it as fast with him because he was harsh, like he expected us to know it already. So, I hung in with it, but then I switched to Dr. Rutherford's class at a different period, and I did a much, much, much better because she was more thorough.
Yes, yes.
So I did great. Yeah, I did great. Okay. I graduated. I got my degree, so it was great.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, listen, because of what happened, I missed a couple of things. I have a couple of questions for you from overseas. This one was, are the Japanese crowds quiet, or do they get into it like they did in the UK?
The Japanese seem to be like wait till you finish the performance and then they erupt into applause and everything else. They're really respectful of the artists. Not that England is not respectful, but they're really respect and appreciate the artists. They have a lot of club for artists over there. If you know anything about Motown, they had James Jameson had a club and didn't even know, when he went over there. But the Japanese people are very respectful, very respectful.
Okay,
they know our music. So, they know our history.
Yeah, but listen, this is the thing. I want people to understand that, I had that experience for the first time in Lagos, Nigeria, when we went to play in Lagos, Nigeria, and I was so used to the people in America jumping up and down, screaming it out throughout the whole show. When they weren't moving, I thought, oh, we must really suck because these people are not even participating at all. And it was just so weird. And we're playing the song, and we're doing all that stuff, and they're just sitting there. And they look, and their faces look like still faced it. And then I just was like so sad, disappointed. And then when we stopped, they jumped up and clapped for a long time. And it was just seems programmed. It was because that's how they were programmed. They were told this is how you do it, right? And so, so I understand the respect thing, but at the same time, I like it when we're doing it together, when we're partying together. If I'm if I'm playing and you're up and moving, I know I'm doing it right. And so I'm glad you told me that. So if I ever go to Japan, I should expect the same type of response. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, there'll be, you know, like twanging and that kind of thing, but they don't do like, you know, like an American culture, just all in it while you're doing it, you know, that kind of thing. You know, they're respectful of everybody around them, you know what I'm saying? So,
man, when we left Africa, we flew right to Amsterdam, and then we went to London, and I was so happy. I was so happy because these people were jumping up and down while we were playing. I was like, okay, we're back.
Right.
So anyway, all right. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody understands that there's a grind. There's, you know, trying to be something and being your best at it, it really takes a lot. You just, you know, some people can be, you know, get fortunate and they don't go, it just, things just happen. But some people work hard to make sure they, like, get to do the insurance thing to make sure that they're okay. And so that's where T and I were. We just tried to make sure that we were okay in the business that we wanted to participate in. And sure. So, but anyway, what was your favorite Solar group?
Oh wow, man! Don't put me on the spot like that.
Okay, I won't.
I meant Lakeside. All of them were. I'm talking about the Whispers. Okay. I'm talking about Midnight Star, The Deal. You know. Lakeside, Shalimar, Dynasty, Collage. I think even the Silvers was signed at one time. But all those groups were my favorite group. I just love the sound. You know, the writing you guys were doing was man, just listening to it, you already knew it was a hit. It just sounded like great music, you know.
Thank you, yes.
And, of course, your talents with playing drums on most of the stuff was great, man. I mean, everything just fit, you know.
So when we were in school together, you knew that I was in the studio recording, right?
Yep.
How
I knew?
What were you thinking? Like, you know, that's my classmate playing on these records. Did it trip you out?
No, because, you know, the years that we were there at L.A. City College, a lot of artists were there. A lot of artists. I'm talking about people from Motown, people from Solar, people from Capitol.
Yes.
You know, Rose Royce was there. I mean, the name of the group Temptations was there. You know, everybody was there.
Yes.
You know.
And I didn't you didn't even know it. Like, I mean, I didn't know it in the sense that what was actually happening. Like, all the record companies had all these musicians that were going to the same school. That's so weird.
Man.
I had no idea.
Dude, that was the best time at L.A. City College. There was a lot of talent, man. A lot of talent.
A lot of history.
Yeah, I had classes with Daryl Wolfolk. His brother played in Earth, Wind & Fire, Andrew Wolfolk. With his brother, who else was there? Barrington Scott Henderson, Bo Henderson, he was there. It was just so many people there, man. So much talent, man. You know.
All right. Yeah. So anyway, man, I just want to say I know that you're busy, and I want to say thank you for taking the time out and coming on. This was fun. I can't believe you were in my business law class still.
Yeah, man.
But you transferred out.
I even asked you to play in the production band at school because we were playing in the student center. And you don't remember that conversation, but that was some years ago. But
I don't think I did. I don't think I played.
No, you didn't. You said you was kind of busy and some other things. But we played behind most of, you know, like the shows in there. Myself, Greg Forbes, James Craig, you know, there was a lot of people in there. But
anything else you want to say about Solar before we get out of here?
Wow, man, what can be said, man? It has not been said, man. Solar was the sound of Los Angeles. Looked like Motown was the sound of Detroit. You know, it was it was awesome, man. I even knew some of the bodyguards that was at Solar.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Dane.
A lot of characters.
Yeah, a lot of characters. Man.
Yeah. And you know, I had to leave the college because we went on the road, the first Solar Galaxy of Stars tour, and you know, and I never could get back to school after that, and I regret it because still to this day I wish I had my degrees, and but I never could get back there. And I went to college in Norfolk State and in L.A. at LACC. And I have enough credits, but I still don't have the degree. You know, so I was like, man. So, but anyway, man, I almost dropped out
because I wanted to travel with you guys. I thought it might have been an opportunity, man, to get with Shalimar or somebody, one of the groups, man. And I was before I actually try to drop out, you know, should I do it? And they said, no, just keep going to school, get your degree. The groups will always be there. And you guys are still here to this day, most of the groups.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, and, you know, I just want to see Solar do one more tour. If we could just do one more tour together, that would be so awesome. Greg has a degree. That's one of our partners, but I don't have a gold disc. He said I have a degree, but I don't have a gold disc. You know. Hey, by the way, you know, I see a lot of thanks for sharing that, Greg. You made me feel better. I love Greg. He's my buddy. And he's also the guy that designs all of our artwork and stuff. So, But Tony does some stuff as well, different than what Greg does, all the flyers and stuff. Tony does all the stuff in the store. Tony, your buddy, Tony. Tony Quaid. And so, so I wanted to say something. I forgot what I was going to say. Jeez, I'm getting old. Go ahead.
As far as the Solar Galaxy tour, I still double album. Yes,
oh,
I still got that double album. Yes, Marvin Craig gave it to me when it first came out, man. Yeah.
Oh man.
And, yeah, man.
I'll come pick it up for me.
Not.
Well, you know,
I still listen to records, see, and you can't find that on CD.
Right. Did you get Dynasty's new records or on 45?
I don't have any new ones, but I got Dynasty's all their other albums, man.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'll send you the 45 since Marvin Craig gave you a double disc. I'll give you the 45. And I'll take them, man.
Okay. I'll take them.
Okay.
You guys use
all
that
right, man.
Samples a lot, dude.
Yes, it has. And especially Dynasty, you know, Adventures in the Land of Music. Oh,
yes.
My God.
Yeah, man,
yeah,
that
hip,
was,
hip,
man.
Yeah,
that bugged me in my head. I say, I've heard this before. It was sampled. I heard it before, and I went to all my records. It was you guys. It was Dynasty.
Hey, what's the next date for the stylistic?
On January the 21st, we'll be in Atlanta, Georgia, College Park, we're headlining the show with Freddie Jackson, Lenny Williams, Ray Goodman and Brown, the Manhattan.
Wow.
Whoa. Heat Wave, and Enchant.
That's a great old school show, man.
Yeah, man,
Lord,
that's gonna be.
Let me know when y'all coming to Texas, and Julian wants to know when you guys coming to Detroit.
I can tell you that right off the bat. That would be, look at my schedule here. That would be May 20th. We'll
May
be with 20th. The Spinners. Yeah, we'll be at the Spinners
okay.
at the Detroit Performing Arts Center.
Okay, awesome. All right.
Yep.
Man, Terrence Rucker, guys, that's my brother. If you want to search him out, he's my friend on Facebook. You'll be able to find him. And so much love to you, man, and God bless you. And
love
thank
you, brother.
You for everything.
Love you, brother. Thank you.
Hey,
thank
we
you,
got
bro.
We got a long history together. So hey,
yes,
I'm gonna play a song by Kalash since you mentioned him. And guys, hey, we'll be back after a few songs here on Solar Records Radio. I'll see you later, T. God bless. Let's see if I can get my other microphone to work again. I don't know what happened, but everything shut down. But anyway, here we go, guys. We'll be back. Thanks, T. Love you,
God
man.
Bless you, bro. Love you, too.
All right, love you. All right, we'll be right back.
Alrighty. But great, 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 great song, Shalimar. You know, that was just so much fun. And I'm just blessed to be a part of such a wonderful legacy. And that's why I'm always talking about Solar and doing these shows, because God has blessed me with a great opportunity to be a part of, music history. And so, and I like sharing it because it's been the music is a blessing to so many other people as well, and including, you know, all the people here at Solar. Many, many blessings. I'm looking for something I want to share with you guys. Unfortunately, I can't find it. It's so weird. I'm all over the place. So I'll just go back to what I do have and see what's in here. And I wanted to share, first of all, I want to make sure I say thank you to T, Terrence Rucker, for coming on and sharing, you know, our story together as young men getting into the industry, and so many different people at the same school, from Motown and Solar, and I think he named a couple other record companies, and it was just a great opportunity to hear these things from T. I couldn't believe it, and that we were in the same class, but he cheated. He jumped up to another class. I stayed there. But he stayed there and got his degree, and I couldn't because we had to go on the road. So be it. Hey, there's a post on our page, and so it says, use your imagination to see the Whispers and Shalimar in there. And these are groups that I was really fortunate to have the opportunity to not just play on, but as we were going and growing, I also became a songwriter and a producer. And so Leon let me start writing songs. And when I say let me, he was the boss. He was my big brother. He was Dick's right-hand man. And so when I say that, I mean it literally. He let me write songs and put them on these records for me. I never knew if they would have ever went anyplace else. And so I'm grateful to Leon Silvers for blessing me with those opportunities that he opened the door for so many of us. But definitely I'm speaking for myself right now. And then he threw me in and made me produce Glenn Jones, because I said I want to produce. And he just said, okay, here's a project. And I froze in my shoes, like, what are you talking about? I don't know how to produce. And so he says, well, you said you wouldn't do it, so I'm throwing you in. And so, and that was something else. So working with the artists, because we all were very young and we were all coming into our own as we watched Jody become, you know, Jody Watley. She was just a young girl when we first started with Second Time Around, and just going all the way to, you know, Friends. She had become a woman, and she had a child by then, and so, you know, it was a time to watch. But we're watching each other grow, and some people faded out, some didn't have that stick-to-itiveness. And so, and I just want to use this analogy for you to understand that not just what I just explained and what I experienced as, you know, you're working with people in the very beginning, and then at the end they're not there, and that's just, I want you to know that everyone that you may start off with may not get to where you're going, because your gift
and your dream will be taking you someplace that, unfortunately, they can't go. It's not meant for them. It's meant for you. And so it was designed that way. You had nothing to do with it. You were just designed that way. And so don't be sad when certain, you know, some of your friends can't continue to go pursue whatever it is that you're pursuing, because it was just not meant for them. To use an analogy, you know how the rocket ships have those booster rockets on the side, you know, and they all start off together, that big old tube and then those booster rockets on the side. And then after the rocket gets up but so high, then the booster rockets, they've done with their part. And they fall off, and the rocket keeps going. And so there's altitudes that you may be going to that your friends won't be able to go to because it wasn't meant for them. They weren't designed to do that. And so when I look back and I think about all the friends that did not, you know, go, you know, as far as we went with Solar, it was not meant to be. Some people you grow up with and you work with, you write with, you know, you're little and young and you have aspirations and your dreams and you're thinking about what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And some of them may say the same thing, but as time goes on, things change. And before you know it, they're not there. You're kind of by yourself now. And what happened? It wasn't meant for them. It was meant for you. It's your destiny. And so don't feel bad. Feel good. Feel good about your blessings and your opportunities because you are made differently. That's all. You are designed differently. So be grateful to God for designing you the way that he designed you. All right. So anyway, let me see. I'm just looking at some of the stuff here. Did I have much freedom of expressing in the studio, like with our own inflections, et cetera, on drums? So for me, like in the studio, I had complete freedom. Absolutely. After we did Second Time Around and The Beat Goes On and a couple of things for Dynasty, and then we started with Shalimar's next record, I had already established to Leon Silvers that I understood what he wanted from me and that he could trust me. And he did. He trusted me to do what it was that he needed me to do. And with that trust came respect. And so he trusted me and I respected him for trusting me. So therefore I didn't want to lose his trust. So I was always very, very respectful with what I played and how I played it. And I would add little things here and there that, see, this is so weird because I do this even today when I'm playing. When we were rehearsing songs, I would play a certain way. But when we started recording the songs, something happened. And there was magic that happened. It was a God-given thing because of all of the respect and trust in the room and pure love for each other, and we cared about each other. We enjoyed being around each other, and we were all like, we were family. And so, but everything I rehearsed, I played differently in the studio. The basic was there. But all my ad-libs and everything I added and my inflections were different. And I didn't know that was going to happen. And I just was playing. And I felt the
I felt to do this. And some of the stuff would catch Leon off guard. You're like, whoa. But we kept playing because he started trusting that I was going to do the right thing. And we kept going. We would just keep going. Then we listen back. We go in and listen to it. So let's go see what it sounds like. Let's see what we did. And we'll go in the room and we'll sit there and listen to the song, and go like, and I would hear that part for the first time, not playing it, but just listening. I was like, oh, and it worked, you know. And then Leon would hear it, and he would turn around and bob his head up and down. Yeah, that's cool, you know. And we all, like, you know, slap five or whatever. So it was so much joy in those magic moments. And it wasn't just me that would play something that was magical. Everybody had that moment of magic, especially Leon on that bass, running up and down that bass. It was just ridiculous, the way he used to play that bass. And Pepper Ernest Reed, the guitar player, was sick, but so good. That's what sick means, like really good. Sorry. And he's crazy so good. And Steve Shockley, you know, he's plucking things. I heard him talk about it the other day. Like, you know, I just started playing this plucking thing. It was on my post, actually. And he said, I'm playing this plucking thing. And then Leon liked it. And he says, man, what did I do? Because it was hard to play that all the way through the song. So he had to painfully play the part that Leon liked that he created. And so he set himself up for it. And that was that plucking part of the second time around that he played. And so interesting, right? Interesting. So that, I hope I answered your question. It was freedom, pure freedom. Can you talk about the drums on Check It Out and how do you feel about how the drums form such a integral part of the track? Well, you know, if I could remember everything I did, I would be really good. A lot of stuff I remember, and some of the stuff I don't remember. Check It Out. I believe William Shelby and Kevin Spencer produced that. And I believe they had a drum machine going, and I played along with the drum machine, and then they pulled the drum machine out. I believe that's how it happened. And that was a strange experience because I don't like that. And it was very interesting to I had other people call me from other record companies to play drums on their records as well. And they would have like either drums up there already that they weren't happy with, or they had click tracks. And I didn't like it because I wanted to play with the musicians that played on the record. Because that feeling that you get playing with the musicians is such an amazing time. You know, the camaraderie is amazing. You guys come together, you just look at each other, you can feel each other, you create a pocket and a groove together, and that's what makes the people go, that's it, that feels good. But, you know, so when you have to do it individually, you know, you just have to hope for the best. And so, so that's kind of like how that went down. Let me see. Did you have much freedom? Oh, okay, no, I already read that. There were four producers from Dynasty on Right Back At You. Who decides the producers? Who decides who the producers, what and why? Well, this is the answer to that. Leon always decided, ultimately. He had the overall say. And he was developing producers. And so he would bring different people in that he was developing and getting them ready. So, but Leon was always the boss in the studio when we were doing, you know, our projects and stuff. Now, when we got separate projects that he would give us, you know, then we were the boss. But when we were doing stuff, you know, for Solar, Dick Griffey, and that, you know, Leon just oversaw everything that we were doing. And then once it was where, you know, he wanted it to be, then he would turn it in to Dick Griffey. So anyway, I love the questions. I love it. I love it. I love it. We got 28 minutes left in the show, and I'm just having a good time here with you guys. Oh, man. I don't know what happened earlier. That was kind of crazy. Huh? Keep the questions coming if you want. What happened earlier was really weird. I don't even understand. I don't know what happened because, like, everything was just sitting on, but everything just started spinning. And I couldn't hear you guys, and you guys couldn't hear me. I mean, we said nothing could – it was crazy. So I had to take my iPad and run to another part of the building and reload it so you guys understand what happened. This is the same. Okay, I didn't get it. I thought I got something new. Okay. But anyway, let's just take a small music break. And like I said, if you have any questions, please feel free to either type it on the page. Linda Martin, type it on the page. Or, you could text me too, Julianne. Greg's always in my case, so I'm not going to ask him. But he's always doing something. So for anybody, you can do it through Messenger as well. Or you can call in if you're in the 90s. Area code, 646-668-8537. Once again, the call-in number is 646-668-8537. And if you do want to call in and you're in another country, just send me your email address and I will send you a link so you don't have to pay for it, okay? All right, guys, so let's go ahead and let these girls tell us about their meeting, and we'll be right back on Soul Art Records Radio.
Leave my condo to come to this. Well, I'm back, but this time I'm with my man. And these women are putting their hands all over his Yamamoto Kanzai sweater that I bought. And I'm much, much unhappy about that. I'd hate to come down to the level and become a BW, a basic woman. But if they don't stop, it's gonna get scandalous. Thank you. Don't slap me, 'cause I'm not in the mood. Don't slap me, 'cause I'm not in the mood. Don't slap me, 'cause I'm not in the mood. Don't slap me, 'cause I'm not in the mood.
you wanna do, but don't you ever, 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 ever go nowhere. Please, I don't want you to go nowhere, baby.
Already, that's the Whispers, and that song was written by Nick Carwell. Rest in peace, Nick, and God bless you, and thank you for your amazing work. You were a really good man, and a really good human, and a really good friend, and you just were amazing. Great teammate for the Whispers, and you know we're so grateful for you. And thank you, sir. Thank you for blessing us with your just your heart and who you were. I went to the funeral, and yeah, that was kind of hard for me. Somebody asked me to tell you guys a little bit about this song I wrote. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And this song is a song that I wrote. Leon was guiding me. This is when he threw me in and said, I need you to produce Glenn Jones. And so I wrote this song for him. About the song. So we go in the studio, you know, I'm Ricky Freeze and I were the producers, and so we go in the studio to start doing this. This is the first time him and I started producing for Silver Spoon under Leon Silvers. And so we, okay, here we go. And we had been writing, so it was just taking the writing part to another level. But it still was nerve-wracking because you're now the boss. Oh, that was funny. So, and I'm always the littlest guy, you know, with the biggest mouth. And so anyway, so we go in the studio and, well, no, not the biggest mouth, but the biggest heart. My heart is there for everybody, and I want everybody to be happy, and I want me to be happy, and I want the music to be happy. I just want everything to be good. And so we go in there, we record, we start working on this. I start playing the bass line of that song, and I did the drums and the stuff, and then Ricky heard it, and then he started adding keyboard inflections on it. And you don't forget, Ricky Freeze was the keyboard player for Dynasty at the time. Then all of a sudden became the bass player for the time. That's so weird, right? It's so good, too. And so, but anyway, so we... we're working on the stuff, and we that was the groove. I picked that. I built it up. I started with the drums and the bass line and then the keyboard part. Then Ricky, then I got Pepper to come in and play the guitar part. And then Ricky, that and that's all Dynasty. And then Ricky started doing his parts on top of it. And then guy Glenn came in, and he learned it. And Dana Myers came in and did some harmonies for us, and so you know, we pretty much had to throw down, brothers, that the whole family, the team, you know, and I did that because, of, you know, that kept me feel secure, right, knowing that I have everybody that already done so much stuff together. So we just kind of, everybody kind of knew their parts and what they needed to do. So it wasn't really like I have to overproduce this. Everybody already knew their part. They kind of like, you show them, and then they just take it from there. So it's like, okay, it's second nature for everybody to come in and they hear it and they just do their thing. So, and it was fun. And then Glenn came in. He was the pleasant surprise because he was the artist that was coming from Becky's over at RCA Records. And I never met him before. And so for him to come in and, man, what a gentleman he was. He was such a nice guy. He still is. And he came in and he sang, started singing the songs with us. And this guy's voice is so amazing. I just was like, wow, whoa, this guy is crazy good. And so, you know, just trying to produce him was probably one of the silliest things we did because Glenn really was able to sing, and we should have just let him sing all the songs the way that he sings because he can sing. But, you know, even, you know, Michael Jordan had a coach. So I guess it's okay to have a coach. And so that's what we were kind of like the coaches in the room. Like Glenn could sing and we just had to let him go. It's one of those guys that you just, it's hard to hold him and control him. You need to just let singers sing. And so we learned that later on in the project as we was going that we just have to let him sing. And so it ended up being a really good lesson, and everybody liked the song. The company loved the song. Everybody was happy, and so we got it done. And I'm just very, very happy about that. Let me see. Last question is, Leon, what brief did Leon give you for the project? What did encouragement? I'm just thinking, like, how did he brief me on it? Leon just kind of, like I said, threw us in there, and we were on our own, and he trusted us. See, trust goes a long way. You know, he trusts that we're going to do the quality of work that he expected from us. And we did, and we were being respectful and doing our best. And with that being said, he ended up giving us more work. We ended up doing work with Gladys Knight and then the brothers Johnsons. And so Leon was, people were coming from all over the place and asking for help and for us to give them tracks and stuff and you know, and bless their projects, like, you know, and they blessed our projects too, so. It was all good. It ended up being a really good thing. And so thank you, thank you, thank you. We're running out of time. I just want to say thanks to all the listeners. Much love and God bless you guys. Thank you for being a wonderful and the best part of Solar Records Radio. We appreciate you very, very much. And I want to say thanks to Greg for all his hard work. We love you, Greg, and appreciate you very much. I want to give a shout out to all the ladies that go over and get their hair done at Greg's shop. Much love, ladies. Much love to y'all. Have a blessed and beautiful Solar weekend. And to this Don Fleming, who's out there working hard and doing what he has to do as a man. Much love to you, Don Fleming. All right, guys. So listen, we're done. And I want to thank you for tuning in to Solar Records Radio. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. No. Yes, yeah, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Solar wants to dance. So come work out with us and have a good time. Good night and God bless and thanks for all your help. We love you and appreciate you. Good night.